And so we're looking at 1 Peter. Looking at 1 Peter, and we see here that the theme of this book, we have two more sermons, today's and then next week, in 1 Peter, but the theme is suffering. Suffering. And so the title, as I put down here, is Christian Leadership. And there's a lot of issues today with Christian leadership, as one person put it, such as Christian leadership, so goes the church. Such as mom and dad, so such goes the church. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. God looks the heart. So we look at, last week we were looking at responsibility. This week we're looking at Christian leadership. So we're starting in chapter 5. We're looking at the elders here today. And God takes authority seriously. He takes it seriously everywhere. As far as I'm concerned as an elder, I am accountable to you all, just as you all are accountable to me. Okay? I have been called the shepherd. And I will go over that. I am the under-shepherd. I follow the chief shepherd. Paul is an elder. We have deacons here that are very well qualified, that love the Lord, that have worked hard over the years. And they don't go around telling people what they have done. God knows. And that's our, even you all know this. This is our secret, that we keep that between us and the Lord. We don't go broadcasting around what we do. So God takes authority seriously. In the Old Testament, remember the elders, Moses needed elders to help him out. Okay? Remember back in the book of Numbers, he used to do all the work from sunup to sundown. He used to go ahead and people would come to him for advice, for help, and so on and so forth. So God knew with all these people from Israel, that he was going to need some help. So God called 70 men. The spirit that Moses had on him went upon these 70 men. They were called elders. They were overseers. That's what elder means. It means you oversee. Okay? We're all like overseers today. Even moms, you know? We oversee. We watch out. We protect. We look out over. I mean, I'm talking about the ladies here. And as well as the gents. But, okay, so the elders were to guide and to govern. Peter was an elder, and he called himself an elder. Peter was married, like I said. Matthew 8:14-15 and 1 Corinthians 9:5. One of the qualifications is that an elder must be married. I knew a guy who went up and he thought he was going to do great as being a pastor. And I said, you forgot one thing. This is years and years ago. I said, you're not married. I said, you got to be married. Okay. So that's one of the qualifications. As you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 and other areas. But we see in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and 28, where elders are called overseers. 1 Timothy 1, 5 through 7, an elder or bishop are used together. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, elders were called to be overseers and to shepherd a flock. So, as we look today, don't confuse with elder, pastor, bishop. They all mean the same thing. I am a what? Teaching elder. I'm a pastor. I preach the word of God. So, Acts 20, it says that Paul addresses the Ephesian elders. We see 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Paul instructs Timothy, Titus 1, 5 through 9. Paul's instructions to Titus, 1 Peter, we see here the instruction for that. So, the elders who are among you, I exhort. So, what Peter is saying here, I want to, as a fellow elder, it's amazing. Peter has a very humble attitude. We're going to get to Peter in a minute. Because remember, he denied Christ. He even cursed himself. He Peter was like as low as you can get. And I looked at myself today, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much as low as I can get sometimes, you know, if we're honest with ourselves. We're just sinners. But looking at a rating today, it says here that nurses are at number one as far as it goes with professions, 89%, medical doctors, 77%. Grade school teachers, 75%. Pharmacists, 75%. Police officers, 52%. Judges, 43%. And clergy, what? 39%. And you know who's at the very bottom? Car salespeople, 8%. And members of Congress, 8%. I wonder why. Okay. But you look in the news and that, boy, you cannot, some news medias, they cannot wait to throw dirt on the whole blanket issue. One pastor steps out of line. Well, you know, they're all that way, you know. And it's so sad. It used to be that doctors and lawyers were pastors back in the day. Some of you gray hair saints or white hair saints remember that, were looked up to. Not anymore. Okay. It's sad to say we're living in a time of apostasy where there's lots of clouds and thunder, but no rain. No rain. Okay. Getting out of Jude. God waters. He gives the increase. And there was also another area there where Ken Ham, with, Answers in Genesis, he did a poll where one out of every four pastors, Protestant pastors, in Answers in Genesis, he does his research. Okay. Do not believe, only one in four believe in that Adam and Eve actually existed. Ken Ham's father was a pastor, and he says, you know what? He says, if you take the book of Genesis out, you don't have the Bible. You don't have the Bible. So Ken was right. Okay? Churches today with these pastors, you have three kinds. You have the ones with the wrong doctrine. Number two, you have the feel good. Let's feel good. And when we leave, you crash like a high sugar crash. You're there and you crash. And the third one is, I'm okay, you're okay. You know, where do we fit in with that? I'm looking at the expository preaching of the Word of God and let God's word fall where it is, and we're going to go by faith. That's all you can do. And I have other statistics here. Remember, Peter's trying to exhort, but sometimes it's hard for some pastors to stay or some leaders within the church. I'm talking about deacons and elders. And I will say, whether you believe in plurality of elders or one elder, one pastor, you have deacons. As long as the Spirit of God is working, and I've seen this over the years, God is going to bless. Okay? So don't get into the government part of church. As long as the church functions, it's important. Here that 70% of the pastors say they will not be in ministry with 10 years from now. That's a pretty hopeless look at life. This whole statistic here is not encouraging. There's about 15 parts here, which I don't think it's even necessary to mention. Because I'm thinking, what are these pastors thinking? What are these church leaders thinking? What would Peter say? Remember, Peter was crucified upside down at Rome, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs and Church Historians, because he felt himself not to be worthy to be crucified right side up. He had a servant's attitude toward the whole thing. I think nowadays we see such a falter and people wanting to go into ministry, they had the wrong conception. I would tell any young pastor, it's better to go into a church and serve faithfully for a number of years and eventually get weaned or get groomed into ministry. And, you know, it's better to stay at a church. It's better to stay. And I hope by God's grace, I stay here for many years to come, unless Christ comes back. So, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who I am now a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So Peter saw it all with Christ. He understood the sufferings. He saw it for his own eyes. He saw the ridicule, the mockery, the cursing of Christ, the questioning and doubting of Christ, the unbelief and rejection of Christ, and the denial and rebellion against the claims of Christ, and the accusation and charges against Christ, and the sufferings of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the beatings and abuse of Christ bore in his trials, and the mockery and the death of Christ upon the cross. And Peter could see these things up close, and he could see these things afar off. He had been there, done that, you know. And as he had seen the sufferings, what happened, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. So he had been there, done that, and that the glory that will be revealed. Some expositors believe this is when the leaders of the church, you had James, you had John, you had Peter, went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, found in Matthew chapter 17. And it says here, and 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, brother of James, the leaders of the church, and led them privately up to a high mountain. And there was a transfiguration before them. It was the pre-incarnate Christ. What a glorious time that will be. I was telling the Sunday school class, we're going to have, we were looking at the resurrection of Christ. And I said, we'll be able to be like Christ is. I said, we'll be able to eat. We'll be able to go vertically, horizontally through walls and ceilings. We'll be able to walk like he did. We'll be able to talk like he did. It will be an amazing time, because flesh and blood cannot inherit heaven, okay? Because we are not immortal. We're mortals, and we're sinners. And so God understands our frailty. You're suffering this week. Many of you have suffered this week because of your calls for truth and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And somebody has come along and put a cover over you and has lied to you and said false things about you, which is not true. And God is saying, I want to give you rest. I want you to give you peace. Rest in me. Like the Hebrew book of Hebrews is written about rest. Don't be walking in circles in your life like the Israelites did for 40 years. Rest in that promised land in your heart that God has given you. So, Christ was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun of his, and Moses and Elijah also before them, talking with them. What a glorious time. We'll be able to walk and talk with them like we do today. We're saved. Do you realize we're saved today? So already salvation has started. And we have a past sanctification, we have a present sanctification, and we have a future sanctification. So let me encourage you today. Let's live like we're going to heaven tomorrow. Like this is our last day to live. Live it! Let me encourage you. The devil wants to keep you down. You know, and I just love what Bill, or somebody put this in the announcements. I thought this was wonderful. Past announcement mistakes. Let me encourage you. We all make mistakes, right? Yeah, I'm right at the right spot. Yes, I am. Okay. Potluck after service. Prayer and medication to follow. Can't make these up. I mean, pastor spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Okay. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon from Pastor McIntyre. I'm going to have to tell Brian about that. Brian and I always get together for coffee across from Walmart in Delafield. We talk for hours. We could go on. So we have to look at the humor. Look at the light side of life. Some of us say, oh man, I wish I could lose some weight. But you know what? God spiritually wants us to lighten up. Okay? You know, sorry guys, but sometimes we'll have to live with a spare tire for it until we go home to be with the Lord. So what? Guys with spare tires are happy. Why am I getting on this subject? But the point is that put your priorities in the right place. Spiritually, put Christ first in your life. You know, he said that, come all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, from my, you know, my burden is light. So, getting back here about Christian leadership, purging one another. So, we're looking at the witnessing of the sufferings of Christ in the pre-incarnation. And then it says here, shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. I think about Psalms 22, where you have the suffering shepherd. Psalms 23 is you have the good shepherd. Psalms 24, you have the resurrected, the almighty shepherd. Remember, he is shepherding you. He's taking good care of you. Remember, his rod is to correct and his staff is to pull you in. And so the shepherd's part here, and we all should be shepherding one another in a part with prayer and love and support. We need to, so what needs to be done of the shepherd? We need to feed the sheep. We need to rescue the sheep when they go astray. Sometimes you can't. Some people leave church and they're gone. And you want them to come back, but they're satisfied watching online. It's okay. I love you too. To attend and comfort the sheep. To guide the sheep. Remember, if there's a stray sheep, all you can do is encourage them. Don't beat them up verbally and say, you belong back in church. No. Just say, you know what? Love you. Thank you for watching online. We miss you. We pray for you. That's all you can do. And some people can't come here. Some people don't understand that physically they can't. You need to guide the sheep, to guard and protect the sheep, to watch over the sheep. So, in verse 2, says here, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Acts 20 and verses 28 through 30 says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. Remember, pray for those who are over you. Remember, spiritually, they're like an umbrella. Satan constantly tries to rain on you. And, you know, if that's not bad enough, he'll try any way he can. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. There is a wonderful artist that will be coming out here when we have our art show out here in Econowalk. And he's a very gifted man. And there was a lady from church who knows this man, this family, and sent me a picture of a flock of sheep with a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing and carrying one of the sheep out. Remember, the wolves are in amongst, okay? And remember, the other part that I always keep guard of, and I watch out all of you, and I think about, are you biting? Are you hurting one another? I'm always trying to listen. I like to kid around a lot and like to be a little silly sometimes, but it's all a facade because deep down inside, I'm very serious and I'm watching everybody to guard you, to protect you, to watch out after you, okay? And so you got to be careful. Within the church. The enemy likes to work within the church. And of course, he's got his disciples out there too, the false prophets. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise and will speak in perverse things and draw away disciples after them. First Corinthians had that problem. We've had that problem here within our church. People will speak horrible things about our church. And as a new pastor 4 years ago, when I came here, I was just like, wow, who do I believe? My pastor told me years ago as he was training me, he says, just listen, keep your mouth shut, just listen. And then you'll find out who's for real and who isn't. And I found out who is for real and who isn't. And God has protected me from the wrong people that come in here want to cause problems. And thank God we don't have people. There's nobody here starts. It's a troublemaker. And if there's anything that happens, everybody is quick just to put it out. And then what I say, and I'm very serious about this, is when there's wrong thoughts, wrong conversation, one, don't say anything. Don't be part of the conversation. And two, ignore it. Ignore it like it never happened. Just walk away from it. Like covering our sins with the blood of Christ. And the illustration I used with the covenant of the ark, this priest would come in and they would actually take that hyssop and they dump that blood in there, lamb's blood, a spotless lamb, and they would actually sprinkle that top of that ark in the Holy of Holies completely with blood. Okay? Once a year, the high priest would come in there and do that. So, shepherd of the flock, which is among you, serving as overseers and not of compulsion. And that has the idea here of being cheerful and not out of being grudging. Okay? Some people, and I have to watch myself and I have to watch other leaders in here and I watch out for the flock of God too. I'm not being, oh, I have to do this again. No! It should be a joy. It should be the first thing on my mind. And yet, you know, thank God I don't have the attitude. I know some pastors that quit after a while. Some marriages, men quit after a while. Some women quit after a while because they're just like, I can't deal with this anymore. Okay? Things look better over here. You don't want to do that. So, it says here, serving as overseers, not with compulsion, but willingly, being excited about it, not as dishonest gain. You know, there was a man I knew named Reverend Ike back in the 80s. I'll never forget this guy. He was a real hustler. And he believed in the prosperity gospel. So maybe some of you remember Reverend Ike. He was so charismatic. He would get the people crying and laughing. He was a good actor. But let me tell you something. What happened with this man? I'll never forget. But when I was a Christian, I just got saved. I said, yeah, this guy's a pimp. He's a pimp. And he's trying to hustle Christians out of their money. And I'll never forget this, that I read this one article and he would come up in his big Lincoln Continentals. Remember those back in the day? And he would be all decked out and the ladies would be like, oh, he's so handsome. He's, oh my Lord, you know, it's showbiz, right? Hollywood. But no, a lady came over in the article, wrote out her whole paycheck to him, gave it to him. Okay? And that's the love of money, love of, that's why it's filthy. Money is pictured as filthy because it, you know, we look at our money today, it's just debt, right? Because we're just printing money off. Let's be for real. Okay? But money could be used for good or for evil. In this connotation, it's used for evil. And then what about the music groups? Remember back in the day, it used to be a ministry, right? Now, we have a professional here. I think she's professional in my eyes. But she does it as a ministry. And so there's another lady here. And others do it as a ministry. But nowadays, it's a performance. Now, let me draw something very clear so you all understand. It used to be back in the day, you could get ministry groups coming in, and they would do it for free as a love offering, just like our ministry that's coming next week, next month. Okay. So, a free will offering, whatever, we're going to give honorary gift. Okay? So, but nowadays, you have to spend thousands of dollars to get musical groups to come in. See what I'm saying? It's turned into money. It wasn't back in the 80s where it used to be, in the 70s where it used to be a ministry. It's more, and I'm saying this very carefully, the ladies are not performing up here. They're doing it for the glory of God. Amen? You could sense it. My spirit could bear witness. It's like they didn't get paid to do it, but I'm using them as an example. I know these ladies very well. They're doing it for the glory of God. But nowadays, it's a big circus, big money-making circus, the Christian music industry. Not all of them are like that. But how times have changed, how music has apostatized. Apostasy is everywhere. It's not just behind the pulpit. Are you kidding me? Believers have apostatized. Musicians have apostatized. It's everywhere. And we need to shepherd. We need to be careful. We need to watch out. We need good, strong leadership in whatever ministry you've been called into. We need men. We need real women. So, with that being said, so Peter goes on to say here, time flies by very quickly. Not for honest gain, in this verse 2, nor being lords over those entrusted to you. It's interesting that the Gentiles looked at leadership as being lords over. You know, with this whole thing since COVID, we talked about how it's more like a system of control. These people are trying to lord us over us. You know, that's one thing Karl Marx was saying. Their goal is to turn all the world into a communistic socialist nation, okay? And then have the United Nations control from there, okay? That's their goal. If they could take out the United States, they got China, they have Russia, other communist countries. You realize this is about every country in South America is communistic. Canada, they just voted in a communistic leader. Okay, and socialism's there. The end times, people, it's happening. As I told Sunday school, I don't get into eschatology so much because everything's changing so quick. And one thing you might say next week, one week will change the next week. So Paul was saying here that we need to not to be lords over. Paul said to Timothy, you know, to be a servant. Jesus to his disciples were a servant. And so as leaders today, they need to be servants. What can I do for you? Okay, it is a privilege to serve you. I may not always have a smile on my face. We may not always have smiles on our face. And it's like one lady said Wednesday, oh, we're real thirsty. And I was like, let me go get some water. Gave everybody some water, right? Oh, pastor, and I'm walking away grabbing some. What? Sometimes it's being exasperating trying to help people. But you know what? I had to watch myself. I should have just thought about it. Should have gone, done what I was supposed to do instead of going like, what do you want? See, you got to watch what you say. Don't let your emotions think before you react. I don't think they even caught on to it. So the Lord caught on to me about that. So we need them not to be domineering. We should have examples like there were ministers. We should have, My Country Tisavi was written by a Baptist minister. A Pledge of Allegiance was written by a Baptist minister. The words In God We Trust was written by a reverend. And then, of course, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence was a minister. So, you know, there are things that we need to do in order to keep our heritage, a love for this country alive. We need to all work together for a better country. But, you know, it's not going to come until God's people, His church, repents. Remember, it starts in the house of God. But as being examples to the flock, remember that time when Peter had to wrestle, and I'm going to focus here on Peter before we close. Peter had issues dealing with himself. In John chapter 21, in verses 15 through 17, when they had finished breakfast, this is when after they had gone fishing, Christ had already raised from the dead, they saw Jesus out along the shore. And they hadn't caught anything all day. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, they brought their boat up. And Jesus said, have you caught anything? Like, God needs to know. God knew, but he loved Peter. He loved the disciples. And Peter, and then Christ said, go out in your boat and cast the net over on the other side. Well, they brought in a lot of fish. Okay? And then they came back, and after they had finished eating breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape me?" That means a sacrificial love. It's not the filial love, or it's just the brotherly love, like we all love each other in the Lord. But are we going to actually love each other in God's love? That takes it to the extreme. It's not just dying for your brother, okay, filial love, but agape love means I'm going to die for somebody who I hate, somebody I don't love, care about, okay? So getting back to this, he says, Jesus says, "Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me, agape, more than these?" As Jesus is looking at his brothers in the Lord, disciples, your fishing, Peter, that you like, think about yourself. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Again, filio, that brotherly love. He said to him, "Feed my lambs, feed the young ones." Okay? Then he said to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." Filio love. Okay? Peter wasn't getting it. He didn't understand that yet. And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." That means to watch over them. And he said the third time, "Son of Jonah, do you love me with filial love?" Do you get it, Peter? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I filial love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So, you know, Peter was supposed to feed his sheep. It goes on here, John 21:18-19. "Most certainly I say unto you," Christ says to Peter, "when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you stretched out your hands, Peter, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." That means the Holy Spirit was going to take him places where sometimes we don't want to go. And he said, signifying what death he would glorify God. When he spoke in this, he said to him, "Follow me." Are we following Christ? Are we following the chief shepherd? Peter had this when he denied Christ. And back in Luke chapter 22, we don't have the time, but he says, the first of his denials, there was one came up to him, which was a woman. He says, "Aren't you the one that used to hang around this Jesus?" And Peter says, "No, that wasn't me. He lied about it." The second time was a woman. Another woman came up to him and said, you must be that one because I saw you." And what did Peter say? "I am not." And he took a cursing oath. And the third time, there was a man that saw Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "You had to have been the one that cut off the servant's ear, weren't you? You were so angry," and says, "You know, I'll take care of it, Lord. Remember, the Lord healed his servant's ear." And Peter cursed himself. And then the rooster crowed. Peter said, "I will never deny you." Yet the Lord used Peter as an elder. And I've been through enough seminary, enough Bible college to tell you today by the mercies of God that God can take a lowly person and turn him into something that the Lord can use. I've had professors tell me, no, somebody needs to be pure and right, without spot and blemish with their past. Yes, God has used those. But God can use whatever he wants, amen? God can use whatever he can to shepherd. So remember, true love is the unconditional. And the filio, which means, you know, you're my brother. And, you know, I love you too. So verse 4 says, "When the sheep shepherd shall appear," and that is, of course, Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And so let him be the chief shepherd today in our lives. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, says here, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, let me just put this in perspective here. Okay? Back in the day, crowns were usually something that would be leaves or flowers that they would put as a laurel, as a crown on a victor's head, the victor's crown. Okay? It meant that you got certain privileges and so on and so forth if you won the race. We all run the race. I believe myself here too that we will all get the crown of life about those who endure temptation, because God has allowed us to endure. We will all get the crown of life, James 1:12. Then the crown of which is incorruptible, the victor's crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. I think we'll get that. We'll all get that. But remember, it says in Revelation 2, remember, my brother, let no one deceive you and steal your crown from you. Stay faithful to what you're called. Saying, I am going through so much, I can hardly breathe right now. And yeah, I know some days the humidity is really hot and heavy. You've got to cut out the air, got to breathe. But I'm talking about spiritually. You are just so filled with worry, anguish, doubt, frustration, hurt. Let loose. Let the Lord take care of that. I believe that we'll get that. Keep running the race. Number three, there's the crown of righteousness. Love is appearing. I think we all would love is appearing, right? It's just like I mentioned from that one author, Lutzer, from, he wrote a lot of books. Unfortunately, a lot of people look forward to Christ because it's because all the trials they're going through. No, we're looking forward to Christ because we will love his appearing. This is my love, my first love. You ever fallen in love before? Sure you have. But this is a first love that will last forever and ever. And then, of course, there's the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown. We all repeat this, and I've met some people say, oh, I've got some notches in my belt. I remember a missionary from the Czech Republic. I saved 4 or 5 people today. I led them in a sinner's prayer. I said, is that right? I said, what about the faith that comes first? I said, first of all, you got to believe. And after you believe, it took me a couple of weeks before I ever told anybody I got saved. I listened and I learned and I knew I accepted Christ in my heart. And then I told my pastor's wife, and pastor's wife told my pastor. And I said, you know, I've accepted Christ in my heart. He put his arm around me. And he says, you know what? Let me pray with you to make sure. And I go, I already know I'm saved. He goes, yeah, but I want you to confess to people. I want you to get up there and I want you to get baptized a few months later. It doesn't mean baptism does not get you to heaven. It's an outward manifestation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So, all of this, my point I'm saying about the fourth crown is that we all have something to do with somebody's salvation. You're praying for somebody, you're praying for your neighbors, praying for other people. You may not have any inkling down the road who got saved. You know, people come and go out of sight, out of mind. You've heard of that? Well, you know, if you had something to do with it because you prayed for them. Some people have prayed for people for years and they come to know the Lord. Don't ever give up. I think we will all receive a soul winner's crown. Now, some of us may disagree. Well, you know what? That's up between the Lord, what he rewards us with. We're not in it for the rewards. Of course, what crowns we get? What? Revelation chapter 4, we're going to cast them before his feet. Okay? And even some people disagree with that. We're not going to be throwing any crowns. You know, you read these theological passages and you do these studies and you're like, what do these people do with their time? You should go out and go soul winning. And by the way, door's always open. Say, oh, that's not for me. That's all right, because I know your prayers are working. You got me on my feet going out there. The other day I found a new part in Oconomowoc. I was like, praise God, fresh territory, fresh land. I like it when it's fresh. You know, go in there and tell them about the Lord. And then there's a crown of glory, which is the elder's crown. And there's been confrontation about that. I'm not in it for the crowns. I'm just in it to give God the glory. You know, whatever he gives to us in heaven, kids, we're good enough to like Christmas time, right? Whatever the Lord, our leader, our shepherd, whatever he wants to give to us, that's good. Because remember, at Christmas time, whatever mom and dad gives us, that's good enough, right? They get it. Okay, I'm done here. And remember, our glory will not fade away. It will not fade away because he does not fade away, because we're here today to give him the glory. Amen? And some of you are sweating right now because you got this shine, this sheen off of your forehead. So you're glorifying the Lord. Went to this one pastor's conference that was charismatic when it closed. And the guy goes, I feel like I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And everybody's like, yeah, all right. I'm not knocking my charismatic brothers. But he goes like this. You got the Holy Spirit. You know, you got the glory of God. People are going to know. You don't have to be a show-off. You don't have to do that. Just live it. Just live it and enjoy it. Enjoy your life. That's better. I'm glad you got some of you got smiles on your faces. Because this life is not worth it. It really is not worth to get it over your head. And God puts us above our circumstances. We can fly as eagles. Life circumstances, we rejoice in the Lord. We can hear beautiful music like we did. Oh, that was a sermon in itself. I was like, okay, we're done. Let's go. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your encouragement, your honor and glory. Lord, we pray for the leaders who have apostatized, who have walked away from you, that they will truly repent, come back to you. And pray to, if there's anybody online or maybe somebody sitting here, you don't know Christ. You got to believe it by faith that you're a sinner. Realize that God loves you and your life is going by so quick, like this summer is going by so quick. Accept Him now as your Savior. Remember, He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. Remember, you have an afterlife. Either it'll be in hell or in heaven. And it's that, not because I'm saying it, it's because the Bible says it. So in the second invitation, if you're here today and you need to get things right with the Lord, just get it right. Let it, confess it, forsake it, and walk free. Don't let Satan put those chains on you. Get loose of that garbage and set your mind free. Let God use you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.